Dramatic show open. Dramatic show open. Hey, welcome to 2017. Smilo Mart McKay on the other end of the table here.
Hello.
What's up, buddy? And we're 20 days late for the start of the new year. I'm Doug Fireball Turnbull, but we got to get briefly updated here, give you guys with a skinny of what's going on in Atlanta traffic here on the WSB Traffic Podcast. So there's been a lot that's already thrown into the air this year. If you thought 2015 or 16 were busy on the Atlanta roads, Smilo Mark, I think we have a lot to look forward to this year.
We do. It begins in Henry County at the end of this month, but we want to start off by what we've been talking about in the buildup for a number of years now. The Braves moved to Cobb County, and we were privy to phase two of the Braves parking and transportation plan.
Yeah, we went to that meeting yesterday. So before we tell you our take on it and so go a little bit deeper, we want to talk to the Braves' president of business. That's a heck of a name, right?
Yeah.
Derek Schiller, who was not shy to jump in front of the mic and jump in front of some of the bullets we were firing in there when we were trying to really dig down and see what was going on with this traffic plan. So here's what the Braves' VP of business, Derek Schiller, or he's the president of business, I don't want to downgrade him, had to say about what's phase two of a three-phase rollout of the Braves' transportation plan.
Okay, we're getting to hang with the big dogs on the eighth floor here across from SunTrust Park. Smilo Mart McKay and I are here with Derek Schiller of the Atlanta Braves. And we were here in August for phase one of the project. We heard about all the access points and some of the macro stuff. And today y'all got a little more to the nitty-gritty and got digital with us. So can you tell us a little bit, in a good way, can you tell us a little bit about what we learned today and sort of what your main message you want to get out is about phase two of this project,
sure,
the traffic plan?
Sure. So as a reminder, it's a three-phase plan. This is the second phase of that. The third phase with all the remaining details will be in the first couple weeks of March. But today what we detailed included a lot about the transportation coordination, traffic planning that we've got with Cobb County, some of the details about some of the plans, some of the specific intersections and different things that Cobb, DOT, all the different partners have been working closely with. We shared a lot of the collaboration that we've got going on with a number of the experts, Kimley Horn and others. And then we also shared some of the partnerships that we've established, including those with Uber and a ride-sharing announcement with them, including a dedicated lot to SunTrust Park to and from, as well as Waze and a partnership and an integration in an app that will be for our fans. So as fans buy their tickets, get their tickets digitally delivered to them, integrated into that same app, will be an ability to understand the best traffic flow specifically to the parking areas that they go. And then finally, and maybe most importantly, especially for those fans that are already purchased tickets to SunTrust Park, is we've made an announcement beginning today, specifically with our premium A-list members. They're going to get information delivered to them about their parking options, and soon to follow will be the rest of the A-list members. And come the on-sale date, March 10th for single game tickets, we'll detail the rest of the single game ticket and parking options.
One of the biggest takeaways I took away from this session today, Derek, was the fact that it sounds like the Braves and local and county officials really want to put less cars in this already congested area by really pushing rideshare.
I think that's exactly right. I mean, there's a couple components to it. So one is certainly that. It's less cars. We announced also, in addition to the Uber announcement and a partnership with that, which obviously with ride sharing and even use of Uber Pool, for example, you have far less people on the roads than otherwise would be if you were driving individually. The other thing we announced is that we're going to have a series of shuttles, some of which are for lots that are in some of the more than 10-minute walk away from SunTrust Park, but some of those shuttles are going to take people from points that we'll identify in Phase 3 around Metro Atlanta and deliver people directly to SunTrust Park. So I think, the answer is we're working in close coordination, not only to take more cars off the roads as possible, but also to manage those cars that are on the road and give them the most accurate information and timely information on how to get here easily, and for those people that aren't coming, to showcase some of the improvements that have been announced with Cobb County, with the DOT, to make sure that their commutes are improved as well.
And so I know you're in high demand here. I got one more for you. Liberty Media finalizing plans maybe to be a partner with an own F1. Are we going to have F1 Media Day down here around like we used to have with NASCAR?
That's a good question. I'm not sure we're ever going to get to the speeds of F1 around here. Let's hope not. But, we're proud of our friends over there at Liberty Media and what they're doing with F1. I'm excited to see those plans, and obviously we talk a little bit with them about that. So who knows? Maybe there's an F1 race in Atlanta's future someday.
Okay, we'll put that down for a yes then. Thank you so much, Derek. That's hard hitting. That's hard hitting journalism right there.
You always got to get racing in there, don't you?
Hey, and I want to say what I was referring to. I don't think he realized it, but maybe around 10 years ago or so, or a little bit less, a couple of different times at Turner Field, they had, I think it was actually a little more than 10 years ago, a NASCAR day, and they would, it was just a NASCAR promotion. The Braves did not have any ownership interest in NASCAR, right, and they would wheel a couple of race cars around the stadium, and I remember going to a game or two and seeing that, so I was wondering if maybe we'd see Lewis Hamilton at a Braves game,
nice,
or, you know, or Nico Rosberg would come out of retirement or something, but he wouldn't commit to F1 Media Day in Cobb County.
Derek has he has his hands full with the SunTrust Park right now.
Yeah.
That's down there. Hey, speaking of SunTrust Park, on the way to the media day and phase two of the parking plan, one thing you will notice if you're in that area right now, if you're ramping from 285 westbound onto Highway 41, there is a SunTrust Park signage that's already there at the intersection of the ramp from 285 to Cobb Parkway. And that then goes into more of the access. We're seeing more and more access now being available to motorists coming off of the perimeter, even in the building stages, Doug.
Hey, yeah, absolutely. So you see, if you're 285 and you're heading onto Cobb Parkway, there are designated turn lanes that say, hey, do you want to head to Circle 75 Parkway? The address for this stadium is on Circle 75 Parkway, right, pretty much right in the V of the intersection with Windy Ridge. That's all just east of Cobb Parkway. So the big challenge with any sporting event, for instance, I've been to a bunch of races at Atlanta Motor Speedway, and they do different flows with the lanes down there, and we'll talk about that more and how they'll do that to Circle 75 in a moment. The big challenge is how do you manipulate these roads to get traffic moving in the directions you want it to? There is no doubt. We're going to say this as a disclaimer right now. We're going to tell you some of these parts of the traffic plan. We know, as you know, there will be more traffic in the area. Traffic will not be better, in my opinion, and I think really it's just as fact, in the Cumberland area on game days. The challenge for the Cobb DOT and Police Department and the Braves business office is what can we do to make the impact as little as possible in an already jammed commute.
We were both thinking the exact same thing in that press conference, and you asked the question, the impact on the
residents. But you had your
residents.
Hand in my back and was moving my mouth. It was the Sherry Lewis, Jim Henson thing.
Great. I'm going to say great minds think alike. Because of the impact and the feedback that we've gotten from our traffic troopers, folks that interact with us on social media, asking the questions that are obvious, those who work in that area, those who live in that area, what is this impact going to be? I think they did a pretty good job of making it understood. First of all, the Braves are going to say this whole, the Battery and the SunTrust Park will bring improvement to those who work in this area. Of course, it will. Even when there's no ball games, there's extra places to work, to eat and have lunch and such. But they really had to allay the fears of residents and workers in that area.
Yeah, and I think something when I did ask that question, the Cobb police officer that was on scene,
Sergeant Lawrence.
Lieutenant J.D. Lawrence, who's been with the county for 17 years, all right, he said these enhancements are made to the roads a lot of times 24/7. If you're redoing the Windy Hill 75 interchange as a diverging diamond, they don't just do that on game day. That's there the whole time. But he also said that even during game days, they're going to have some of these, the contra flow, as they call it, where you have lanes in the opposite direction of one road aiding the predominant traffic direction. So like Circle 75 Parkway eastbound will be open, and then one of the westbound lanes will be made into an eastbound lane to get that traffic there. What he's saying is those accommodations will be made before the biggest push of the crowd gets there. So if you're someone that's leaving work, let's say, in that Cumberland area, and I know I've heard from a lot of people, my office building dumps into Cobb Parkway, and what the heck, because then the Braves traffic get at it, how am I going to even get home? And he's saying these traffic enhancements and extra lanes will be there a couple of hours or maybe several hours before game time, so it can accommodate you and make your PM drive potentially, and I know this is a little bit of PR here, but still, potentially better than what it is now, because if you leave before the normal Braves flow gets there.
Well, the coordination between the Cobb Police, the Cobb DOT, Braves officials will be evident, and they're going to do some test runs, as a matter of fact, leading up to opening day in terms of getting folks in and out of there. I thought what the Cobb PD spokesman also said was important. 30 intersections are crucial to this plan. So a lot of intersections that, first of all, that are being improved in that area, where you might have seen backups before because of the ongoing construction up there, or just because they're outdated, they're being improved. So Along with the ballpark and the Battery come improvements in the infrastructure in that corridor in Cobb County.
Hey, certainly. And so some of those intersections, here's what you can do. If you want to find out what exactly is happening with this, Smiley and I were given a nice glossy press packet here from Cobb County that details all of these things, but it's not secret stuff. If you go to cobbcounty.org, I believe it is, or the Cobb County government site, I think they said it's cobbcounty.org, or bravesupdate.com, you can find ways to access this same information. The insider info we're giving you is that we were there and got to talk to these people in person, but you could certainly start planning your commute. So infrastructure-wise, a lot of improvements going on, and traffic plan-wise, there's going to be a lot put into action.
Of course, if we can get into a lot of detail, and you can find out all the details about how the parking will work. What we did learn is that parking will have addresses. It's tied into the app. I know we can get further into that, but I think a lot of people wonder, as we did, as we were walking to Turner Field, whether it was getting off of MARTA or parking, and that flow, that street flow, is also important to keep people safe. Lieutenant Lauren said safety is important for the motorists and the pedestrians, and they've made inroads there as well, Doug.
Exactly. So one reason right now, for instance, you find Circle 75 Parkway shut down is because the crews are laying beams across the road to erect a pedestrian bridge. And you and I, Smiley, both saw this yesterday. Already at the intersection of Windy Ridge Parkway and Circle 75 Parkway, there are pedestrian bridges being built, or maybe you're already in place. And if you have lived or been in the Cumberland area for years, you've seen the pedestrian bridge that already exists around the Cumberland Mall down there, and that goes over Cobb Parkway and around the Galleria. So the idea with pedestrian bridges, and I get the feeling, especially when you look back to the crucible or the insurgents of the Tea Party movement and the famous bridge to nowhere and things like that, is, oh, this is government pork. And I understand that. And there was a lot of controversy, especially surrounding the bridge that will not be built in time for the season, that's going to go over I-285. Right. However, here I think is the number one or two, the two important reasons for the pedestrian bridges. Number one, safety keeps fans off of the roadways. But here's the second one that doesn't get considered. Have you ever been like me and sat on Fulton Street at Capitol Avenue, just to the north of Turner Field, and waited for throngs and throngs of people to cross the street? Or have you been one of those pedestrians that waited forever while they never let you cross? Here, pedestrians can cross the street and cars can move at the same time. It's worth it.
Not all pedestrians are going to be put on bridges, though. We learned also that one lane of Cobb Parkway will also be dedicated for pedestrians only. That is quite an innovation and something we'll have to watch, because you take away a lane of Cobb Parkway at game time, what's that going to do to the flow?
Yeah, and I was a little confused as to what exactly that's going to look like. And we'll see maybe in phase three what exactly it does. Also, they have a bunch of pre- and post-game closures that are going to be in place and changes to traffic flow. And one of the top ones they list, number three on their list for pregames, is the east and west pedestrian crosswalks on Cobb Parkway and Circle 75 Parkway will be blocked. So they are going to shut down traditional crosswalks. They're going to dedicate some lanes of traffic for just pedestrians, and they're going to send pedestrian traffic, of which there will be plenty, onto bridges. The reason why there will be plenty of pedestrian traffic, there will be at least 14 satellite parking lots to SunTrust Park, and those are just the official Braves-owned or leased lots. That does not include any other independent proprietors who have to apply with the county, and whom the county is saying need to apply soon, because they will not be allowed to do it if they are not inserted into the traffic plan.
That is what we learned in phase one of the parking plan, the parking and transportation plan. It was enhanced and certainly hit upon in phase two. That parking is 360 degrees around SunTrust Park. And what's the other difference between Turner Field and SunTrust Park? A smaller ballpark capacity-wise to put people in the seats. That means you get more people in there, and parking is not going to be the issue with all of the area lots.
And I want to tell you this, too. Here's another surprise. Hold on to your bonnet. I know a lot of you are wearing bonnets. The Turner Field, now this is official Braves parking. This does not include Hop Singh's lot over there on, you know, Hank Aaron Drive or something like that, okay? But the official Braves parking at Turner Field, the blue gold lots, all that, was only 8,700 spaces. Turner Field held 50,000 people. It was 8,700 spaces. This ballpark holds, I think it's around 40,000, we'll say. And they have 11,000 official Braves spaces, 11,000 plus. And they've already had applications for permits to get the other entrepreneurial parking and from offices and so forth in the area. If all of those go through, if everything adds up, within 15 minutes of the ballpark, they anticipate to have as much as 32,490 spaces, single car spaces, for a 40,000-person ballpark, in theory. And they are also going to have a free shuttle. Now, they announced this yesterday. This is brand new. A free shuttle that's going to take people from the most outlying spots within the 15-minute radius into the ballpark. So that shuttle may not be available if you park right next to the gate. But if you are far away, they will have a free shuttle that's brand new from those outlying mile-away spaces.
And watch this space, so to speak, or stay tuned, because they're also talking about perhaps in other parts of Cobb County having shuttle buses run to SunTrust Park from other areas of Cobb County where you don't even have to get into the congestion that potentially could be there at 285 and 75.
Well, it's for sure. And that's preliminary. And they're even trying to discuss with different shuttle companies, including the government-run GRETA, George Regional Transportation Agency. I think GRETA, we know what that is. The GRETA buses, maybe trying to find other ways to shuttle people in from other corners of Metro Atlanta. But that's, they say, is very much up in the air and will be part of their Phase 3 rollout, which I anticipate to be in March, right before the season starts. They're going to have some testing for this traffic plan during the exhibition games. So the single game tickets don't go on sale until March 10th. The season ticket holders and A-list people, they can already start buying parking and tickets and things right now. And they announced that yesterday, that you could start buying parking spaces. But they will be able to sort of beta test this when you have smaller crowds going to the exhibition games. And then they've done some super beta testing, Smiling, already on public transit. And yep, they said they've taken that efficiently. It'll be hard for big crowds, but for the few couple hundred people or whoever were there, they could test it because they moved into their offices December 15th. So there, some people that weren't native to the area are now learning what you're going to have to sit through and making adjustments accordingly.
And one big change, huge change. We all lived it since 1996 when the Olympics handed over Turner Field to the Braves. The big change has come technology-wise. We didn't have smartphones in our hands in 96, 97.
Oh,
the
you
smartphone,
didn't?
Well, I had a bag phone back then.
Yeah, okay.
Bag phone that I put in between the seats of the car. The technology aspect of this, really in some ways, if you think about it, Doug, blows your way.
Well, yeah, and you said the word way. So what the Braves have done is they already had the MLB ballpark app or before where you can find a Turner Field subset and you know your ballpark experience could be within an app. And that, I don't want to spend too long on this, but the Braves app that they have that's being remade for SunTrust Park and built by Major League Baseball's app division called BAM or something like that, mm-hmm, is going to have a section in it that is fueled by the traffic navigation company Waze, and is going to be able to get people from their doorstep to their assigned parking. The whole goal, whether you're a season ticket holder, a single game purchaser, whoever, is to try to purchase your parking beforehand so you're not wandering around this area that's going to have thousands of cars trying to get to and fro. And each parking lot that's a Braves official parking lot, quote unquote, will have its own geotagged address. It'll have its own mailing address in theory, and you'll be able to go from doorstep to parking lot, and Waze will navigate you there. If you parked in the gold lot at Turner Field, there wasn't a gold lot address. You just go to Turner Field, right, watch for the signs for the gold lot, hope you're in the correct lane. This is not going to be perfect. Waze is not perfect. It doesn't have expert traffic reporters on the other end telling you certain things, but it will be able to put in your address. And then there's another partnership, Smiling, with ride sharing.
Uber, the exclusive partnership with Uber, they will have a designated drop-off and pickup area at Turner Field. So I think this is a component that a lot of folks, well, they want to get cars off the road, as I was talking to Derek about. You know, it isn't one of the approaches to help the traffic plan would be to get less cars off the road and encourage ride sharing. But think about this aspect of it where now Uber, especially for those of us who like to end the weekend and have a good weekend and not have to think about driving and enjoy yourself, you can enjoy the battery, you can enjoy the ballpark and not have to worry about getting behind the wheel after the event. Uber has become such a service here in the Metro Atlanta area that you couldn't ignore their part in this, and they're now partnered up with the Braves to make it even a better experience if you want to Uber out to SunTrust Park.
And they have the designated Uber loading and pickup zones that will be on Circle 75 Parkway. I think they have it outlined on the Cobb County website and on BravesUpdate.com, but essentially one side of Circle 75 will be designated for Uber drop-off and pickup before the game, and then the other side after the game. They also will have, I got a question on Facebook from someone about where charter bus area, and in that notion we need to mention that their Uber, and they had an Uber spokesperson at this meeting, is encouraging people to use something called, and I wasn't familiar with this, Uber pool.
Yes, I am. Yes. You ride with other people and pay a smaller amount.
Make some friends on the way to the game.
Yeah.
All right? And then you could go party together in the game and be safe. So, and that'll get less cars on the road. Imagine if a certain percentage of people Uber pooled to the game. You don't take less cars off of the road necessarily with Ubering by yourself, but if you Uber pool.
Yeah, right,
or,
right.
Hey, Uber that family of four down there, and then, you know, hey.
That's the way it works.
Don't have to go walk as far. And that's the other thing, too, with Uber. You don't have to walk 15 minutes or take a shuttle from your parking space. They drop you off right on what I guess would be the south side of the ballpark, Circle 75
very
Parkway.
Close. Because of the exclusive partnership, of course, you know Uber's pickup and drop-off points will be very convenient. All right, we're probably going to wrap this segment up.
Yeah, we're 20 minutes already. I mean, it's big. It's rich.
Do you think, though, that folks listening to us think we've drunk the Braves' Kool-Aid on this? I don't think so. I mean, I'm encouraged. I was encouraged after phase one about everything that was going in there and what was happening infrastructure-wise, cooperation-wise. It will be put to the test very, very soon.
It certainly will. There is still no doubt, and that's why I wanted to say this early, there will be worse traffic in the area, and it will affect
bottom line,
285. People will get off as early as Northside Powers Ferry on the Outer Loop and probably as early as Paces Ferry on the Inner Loop trying to figure out how to get there. It's going to add extra pressure to the region, but here's the way I look at it, is there were, in my opinion, almost no steps taken at Turner Field. I mean, I know there was kind of a traffic plan, but people weren't familiar with it. You just drove down there and prayed for hope, and they are making a lot of sophisticated moves. Like we said, they have 70 traffic signals that have adaptable technology to the traffic flow. They are monitoring 30 intersections. They'll have a mobile traffic management center on site. All of these different things, cooperation between local, state government, and the private business, the Braves, it's going to be a better experience for the commuter, for somebody going to the game, I think.
Well,
but it was still going to be slow.
It's evident with the work that they put into this. It's evident this plan has been, as they said, working for 3 years. It'll be put to the test over the next couple of months leading up to opening day.
Yeah, certainly. So stay with us at WSB. We'll have beefed up traffic coverage. My column in the AJC, I've started writing Mark Arum's Gridlock Guide.
Congratulations.
Thank you, buddy.
That
I appreciate it. It's an honor to do it, to be in print there. In fact, Clark Howard saw him the other day, and he goes, "You and I have something in common."
Nice.
I was like, I'm not as thrifty as you are. What? And he's like, "We're both writing for the AJC." I was like, "Oh, yeah, I guess
but
so."
You'll be multi if you get TV next, you know. So
So
multimedia, though.
Voice only, I imagine. But anyway, but the Gridlock Guy column will lay out some of that stuff.
How can we find it? Where can we find it?
Yeah, pretty much what I do is you just go to AJC.com in the Metro section, and they usually post it at noon on Sunday. When I'm trying to find the link myself to share or just to see what edits they made, I just Google Doug Turnbull AJC Gridlock Guy 2017, and that usually helps.
And if you're old school and you get home delivery, it's in Monday's paper.
Yes, Monday's paper. That's correct. And post on Sunday online, Monday's paper. So we're going to have more on this, and we're going to do some more on the Big Stick on WSB Radio. And, of course, as the game days get closer, we'll have beefed up traffic coverage. All right, so let's switch to phase two of this podcast after we're done with phase two of the – I didn't even do that on purpose. No, that just happened, okay? And let's talk about the scare we had 2 weeks ago, and it was a reality as far as fear goes for some of Metro Atlanta for the winter weather outbreak. I don't want to spend forever on this because it's already old news, but Smiley Mark, you got to help out a little bit Friday some, and then I know, of course, Saturday morning you awoke to quite a mess. So actually, before I get to you, I want to talk about how Friday played out.
Yep.
Okay, so Friday afternoon, we had rain rolling in. It didn't really turn to freezing rain like we thought in the afternoon. Rush hour happened between lunch and 4 or 5 p.m. Most of the roads were cleared off by 6 p.m. as far as cars go. It was a ghost town out there. And then the next bout of weather came in that actually had ice and some snow in it. And the 7, 8 o'clock hour, and it got really pretty dicey through the overnight. And then, of course, the temperatures plunged. So even if you only got rain, there were ice patches. There was ice in the trees. Some wires came down. At one point, I think almost 70,000 people in Metro Atlanta, that's just off the top of my head, lost power. I was on the air doing traffic, and then Mark Arum first, and then myself had talk shows on from 7 p.m. until 1 a.m., and it was not a disaster like 2014 was, but we started getting blowback. Well, I didn't get any snow in my house. Yeah. This is a whole in Atlanta, what wusses, people from the north, I wrote about this in the Gridlock Guy column this past week, by the way, and my point is we need to treat these storms as if 2014 could happen again, because we do not. Nobody could drive an ice, and we do not have the infrastructure to clear thousands of miles of roads off for safe travel when this happens. So So I want to say first, number one, is we did have ice on the roads, and some people were out of school in Cobb, Cherokee counties through Tuesday, and the storm came in on Friday. And secondly, Smiley Mark, you did awake to quite a mess, didn't you?
It was in the city itself. There was a dusting, but once it collected on the downtown connector, and that was one of the spots that we heard first, was how the downtown connector, one of our traffic troopers in the early morning hours of Saturday, calling it a sheet of ice. Well, it was very slippery. We saw many incidents that shut down the connector because of these various incidents that collect up a couple of tractor trailers. They go sideways. They collect a couple of cars, and then the hero units have to get in there, and then the DOT trucks have to get in there, salt and sand, and treat those areas. So there were scattered areas, but we lucked out, number one, that it was a Friday night, Saturday event. And I do think people are in the mindset, trust our meteorologist, Kirk Mellish. He knows what he's doing. If there's a nerd about weather, and you follow him on Twitter at Mellish Meter on Twitter, you'll find out he studies this. He knows it. He was dead on with this. And we really are in the mindset, a lot of folks that I was out with Friday night, all right, it's dark, let's get home, because you just don't know. You don't
right.
want to get caught out. So I think Atlanta is becoming in the mindset because of what we went through with the mega storm coming in during a weekday and paralyzing the city and paralyzing 285 overnight, that maybe we get in the mindset now, you know what, if we have a threat, we'll get home and beat this home.
I think that's exactly the mindset you need to have. We tried to say it over and over again on the air is please treat this as if it could be the worst, because the early forecasts for this thing were that especially north and east of Atlanta, there could be multiple inches of snow. And when people woke up in DeKalb County and didn't have a mountain of snow in their yard, they said, oh, these people are full of crap. And it does get dramatic. But the thing is as it's happening, you have to treat it like the worst could be yet to come. I mean, that's just, I'm not saying that as trying to justify overhyping something, but you don't know, because we lived through, as a reporter, just having to answer phone calls from people stuck on roads for days because of the 2014 storm or the one we had in 2011, for instance. You've got to treat it like it's the worst, because Atlanta, we got to wave the white flag when this happens. We cannot treat life like it's a normal deal in a city where we have traffic as bad as we do.
And your admonishment or your advice, you know, don't let your guard down in many situations. That was in particular, because if you did venture out and you were able to get out of your neighborhood, imagine if you were caught up in one of these incidents and you say, well, maybe I should have stayed home. And the folks, you're right, Cherokee County up in Bartow, Northern Cobb, over across the northern sections, there are folks that couldn't get out of their neighborhoods
right.
because of the ice. So
we almost didn't have Ashley Frasker yeah. or Pete Spriggs, our program director, here on Monday morning, because their neighborhoods were just junk.
And isn't it always right? I know how to drive in it. It's the fools around me that don't.
Oh, yeah.
You hear that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Try it. But I know how to do it.
Hey, we've got severe weather coming in this weekend. You may be listening to this as it's rolling in if you're listening on demand at WSUradio.com. And I really think we should treat rain in a similar way. I mean, we're not going to get stuck in our neighborhoods if there's a rainstorm, but we know what happens to the Atlanta roads when they get wet. Certainly, if there's the chance that some are slippery with ice. Come on, man. Come on, man.
No brainer.
So my first thanks for coming, I want to issue here, thank you for coming, as Captain Herb would say, is to people that a lot of the people that commented on my AJC piece, by the way, were in this category, people that thought we handled this the wrong way. I say no. I say, yes, Atlanta was dramatic. Yes, it was not as bad as it could have been, but we did what we had to do, and if we had treated Friday's rush hour like a normal p.m. drive, there still would have been a lot of people out on the road after 8 p.m. or 7 p.m., and when things started getting icy up northwest, and there were already hundreds of crashes in Cherokee County because of this thing, there would have been a lot more.
My thank you for coming would be the traffic troopers, or maybe not traffic troopers, just callers to the traffic center in Morning Drive when everything's popping across the metro, south, north, east, west, and we're doing traffic every 6 minutes during Atlanta's morning news. And maybe we don't mention the particular backup you're in that six-minute segment, but maybe 6 minutes down the road, and you choose to call the traffic center and complain. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, really. And here's the thing you got to know is, folks, we do all we can just to cover all the interstates. And we know, we are very aware of how backed up your surface street rides are, too. So think about how hard it is for us to cover the macro picture in the amount of time we do with the detail that we do and with the number of people we do. So thanks for your patience with that. But yeah, if you hear one snippet of a traffic report and you think, well, why didn't they talk about my stuff? It may be coming around the bend if it's significant enough. And if it's not, please call and tell us about it and let us know so we can tell people the right way. So I like that. Thank you for coming. One more thing I want to touch on real quick. We're going to debrief this more later after we get a couple of weeks of testing of this. We're going to make a podcast about it. But is the South Metro Express lanes, the reversible toll lanes that are going up on a 12-mile stretch of I-75 through Henry County from Stockbridge to McDonough, from 675, which is exit 228, down to the McDonough exit, Highway 155, exit 216. Those actually open January the 28th, all right, a week from Saturday. And the idea, of course, is that the lanes will run northbound during the predominant travel and morning drive and southbound during PM drive. And so they're going to open these lanes up as toll lanes starting that weekend. And they will, the rates will adjust between 10 and 90 cents per mile based on the traffic flow. Very similar to how the hot lanes do in Gwinnett County. The difference is the hot lane, it was replaced an HOV lane and you use a Peach Pass to drive in it. And this one, these are separate lanes. They don't replace anything. They're added lanes, but you still can use a Peach Pass to drive in them. And so, I guess, Milo Mark, I want to ask just real quick off the top here, how do you think the opening days of these lanes will go? And we'll compare that and do like a hot take thing and see what it looks like here 2 weeks into it.
You're the second person to ask that in 24 hours. You know what the first one was?
Ross Cabot.
Ross Cabot from Channel 2 Action News. We were sitting next to each other at Braves yeah. Phase 2. He said, what do you think about the South Metro Express lanes? Will it help? And I said, yeah, in a normal situation, it'll help. Here's where I think we're going to be put to the test there.
Oh, yeah.
Holidays. And all of the out-of-town traffic that comes north and south through
both
Metro
ways.
Atlantic, going to Florida, going back up. We know how terrible it is leading into holidays, holiday travel time, summer travel. That'll relieve that pressure. How much will it relieve? How many folks will be willing to get in those paid lanes to get around potential backups in that corridor?
The good news is, as the toll lane cards that are used in Florida and North Carolina, and I believe South Carolina, I'll have to check on that, but some of the other regional states' toll cards are also usable in those lanes. So if you have an account that's banked for that you use the Sun Pass in Florida or whatever, you could use them in those lanes. But here's my question to DOT's Jill Goldberg. What happens when both directions are jammed up and you don't really have a rush hour? It's a weekend. And here's the answer so far. And I have a feeling this is a living, breathing document like our Constitution. She says, well, the plan right now on the weekends is as soon as PM drive is over on Friday night, they're going to flush out the lanes, which, and we'll explain that process later when we talk more about this, but they'll clear those lanes of traffic and shut all the gates. They'll make sure the lanes are clear, and then they'll set them up for Monday morning's ride. So all weekend, in theory, from about 10 p.m. or midnight or so Friday, all the way until the end of Monday morning drive, those lanes will be northbound lanes. But I am sure that could change if they know there's an event at Atlanta Motor Speedway or if they know something. What I don't think will change it is if there's a wreck, because it takes a couple of hours preparation to get those lanes set to go in the correct way. And so if there's a wreck that shuts down 75 South at Jodico Road, all right, they're not going to open up the reversible lanes for travel. They will not be able to. That's not the plan right now. They're going to be set to be northbound lanes, and people will be zooming by in those lanes paying 10 cents a mile, you know, going, hey, sorry, guys. And I don't think they're going to be adaptable enough right now to actually adjust for traffic incidents.
That a staffing budget issue?
Well, I just think that you have to make all 12 miles do the same thing, and by the time you do that, it takes so long, the crash is probably gone.
Yeah.
I think that's because it takes, they said, 2 hours to close the lanes down, get all of the vehicles off of them, and then any abandoned vehicles will not be allowed to be left in those lanes.
Now, my thought of being done at 5, whatever time, 7 or 8 o'clock on a Friday night, and only making it northbound, what the thought? There's more northbound traffic coming through than the weekends?
No, it's just they're getting ready for Monday morning drive.
Gotcha.
They figure that the plan on paper is that that we're doing this for rush hours, and the next rush hour is Monday morning, so we're going to get it set in place as soon as possible. It's that's the part that's really going to make this look bad, is when you're stuck in one direction and the other direction has the reversible lanes in their favor. But hopefully they'll figure out a way as this goes along to make it work. But they can't just willy-nilly change the direction of the lanes. That is a thorough process.
Well, safety. And,
yeah, you don't want people getting on southbound and then northbound's not fixed. And again, I want to mention also, they have to clear off all the debris and the damaged or abandoned vehicles. You will not be allowed to leave your stalled car in the middle, yeah. You know, on the shoulder like you could normally, because that car will be facing the wrong way when they change direction, so they'll tow that thing away. So they got to do all of that extra safety. So it will not be super, super adaptable starting out, but that will be something we can watch. Want to issue another thanks for coming for something that happened on the Atlanta interstates last week that I just don't get why it lasted so long. And that was on 285 South at Memorial Drive. I believe it was last Tuesday or Wednesday. There was a truck that lost, a truck carrying recycled goods, and it lost. They were mashed into cubes or something like that. And one of those cubes fell off, and there were cans, smush cans, all over 285 South Memorial Drive. And I knew as soon as we heard about it, and then we saw the camera of it on the WSB Jam cam, that we flew the Skycopter over it, I knew this is going to last forever. But what I didn't realize was how long it was going to take to get a Bobcat there. And that thing was almost 2 hours. Did we have debris in the road and only one right lane open, 285 South, in the middle of PM Drive at Memorial Drive, and only one right lane was open. And they were literally just picking up cans one by one. They didn't have any special equipment there except for the brave hero and police officers that were kind of just trying to direct traffic and pick at it. And then at like 6 p.m., finally, the Bobcat rolls up. And we're going, okay, why wasn't that a call made early? And I don't know what went into it. I didn't ask, but thank you for coming.
We would like those cleared. And that gets us into what does traffic look like now that everybody is, like to say, back in the proverbial pool. We had the holidays. We had light traffic flow. We had light traffic flow Martin Luther King Jr. Day, and it just seemed to hit with a vengeance all the week after, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. The northern suburbs took a really big hit, especially Cobb and Cherokee, Gwinnett County. This is the point. Think about it. Everybody's back at work. We, in our own parking deck here at WSB Radio and TV, we can't even find parking places during peak hours. As one of our security guy said, this is when everybody's off of vacation, back at work at the same time. Now everybody's back on the roads at the same time, and we're seeing some horrendous backups in the morning.
Yeah, it certainly is. And I think one place that I've seen really start to stick out lately in PM Drive, which is my specialty these days, is 85 South, the ramp to Highway 74. Every afternoon this week, that ramp's been jammed up. But I noticed that happening when school got back in August and early September. But it seemed like it kind of went away, and it's all jammed up again. And I don't know if it's a traffic light timing issue or what, but when I get some time to investigate that, I want to write to some DOT officials or somebody and see what's going on there, because that ramp didn't used to be a problem, and now it is. Maybe there's a business or a school or something that's adding to it. But it's just like how a couple of years ago, the 85 North ramp to Claremont got really bad in the afternoons. Something's changed down there, and it's affecting I-85 all the way back before Union City.
And if I have to think of one spot that's different now than it has been, I believe it's 575 southbound out of Holly Springs,
ooh,
north of Sixes Road.
Okay.
Before the backups on 575 wouldn't begin till 92, get really jammed in through the construction zone. Now every morning, especially after 7:30, 8 o'clock, we see a slow zone forming. Main Street coming down through Holly Springs to Sixes Road, then it opens up and then slows again. So we've
weird.
Got an extra slow zone in Cherokee County, which wasn't there before.
That's interesting. Okay, between exit 14 and exit 11. Okay,
heading down before you get to the Ridgewalk Parkway.
It's interesting, yep. And it's not like people are going outlet shopping at 6 a.m.
No,
so that, okay.
They're in slow traffic.
We're gonna investigate those things. Of course, keep you updated. We got Triple Team traffic is as robust as ever, and we should make an announcement. We haven't made this announcement on the podcast yet, but we're in the process of beefing up our traffic center and recalibrating things to where we have more people on at different times of the day and overnight and stuff. And so Steve Winslow, who's been an afternoon stalwart of ours for the last couple of years, is now our overnight traffic anchor Sunday through Thursday, and we'll also have a new overnight anchor pretty soon on Friday and Saturday nights. And then Alex Williams from our traffic team is now part of our morning and afternoon team every single day, helping get info out, it just doing more digging. We dig harder than any traffic team out there, and so he's helping you smile in the morning, make sure you have the right camera shots and know what's going on in the afternoons. He's doing the same for me. And we're getting ready in a process where pretty soon we're going to have a traffic app available to you, hopefully sometime mid-spring, that's going to be able to make a lot of the stuff you hear on the radio much more easily accessible, and some other cool features too. So we're 2017 is a big year for the Triple Team traffic, and we're thankful you're listening to us.
And if you're used to hearing PM Drive, you go home every afternoon wondering where Steve is. Steve's on after 8 o'clock, and he's our I call him our overnight ace. And
yes,
he's out there. He's digging. He's caring about those events that shut you down, whether it's construction or many times when I'm up and running at 4 o'clock in the morning, the wayward tractor trailer that goes over and could be there for a while. So he's watching out for us overnight.
Yeah, those tractor trailers like to tip in the overnight hours there. And Steve is going to be great monitoring the construction. Is the Northwest Metro Express lanes in Cobb, you know, that's a huge, huge project. Some of those Braves projects tied in with it. And the overnight hours, those are always very active. And that project, the big reversible lanes on 75 and Cobb, is going to last deep into 2018. So we were glad to have Steve in there. Also want to say congratulations, too, to our Mark Arum. All right, yes. Mark Arum on 7 to 9 every night now on WSB. He did have a 10 to midnight show. So now I guess his sleep hours will be a little bit better. He's still got to get up at before 4 a.m. to get in there for his 4:30 traffic on Channel 2 and WSB Radio in the mornings. But Mark's talk show is going to be really pivotal in us helping get with a local clock now, get that traffic message out, and especially when these doggone Braves get started.
Well, and on day one of the show, he was able to quiz Alex about the aforementioned cans that went over on 285. His disappointment was they were empty and they weren't filled with tab or something.
Tab?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is 1984.
So
he
brushed, quote, little guy Alex off to the side saying, never mind, I don't need an update. But that's where the flexibility post 7 o'clock is. We've always said rush hours in Atlanta don't end at 7. Now with a live local show at 7 o'clock, traffic and traffic issues and red alerts and gridlock alerts become part of the fabric of that show as you try to get home later into the evening.
And you have a traffic reporter anchoring the show who is not traffic reporting at that time, but he could better understand it. When you have taped shows of Sean Hannity and Clark Howard on one of those hours, it's just a little harder to make the dynamics of our traffic team really stand out. So that was a big part of what our great program director and boss, Pete Spriggs, had as far as our 2017 plan. Same with the beefed up part of our traffic team and this app that's coming out. So stay with us, man. It's going to be a big year, and I think more pivotal than ever with the economy robust, a new presidency. We're doing this during the inauguration, making this podcast. That's how important it is to us to get this out to you. So stay with us, and we want to thank you.
We appreciate you listening to News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB and the WSB Radio app.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.